They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness and shall sing of thy righteousness. The Lord, he is good. The Lord God Almighty, faithful and true. Faithful and true. That's important to you and I. Because how many people in here, you just, every part of your life and all your circumstances are just perfect. And in the natural, if you looked in the natural, it looks just wonderful. You got a wonderful family. Everybody's saved and everybody gets along. Your husband and wife, you know, your husband or wife just treats you with the love of God every day. You know, it's just, now that, I'm not saying it's not true. That's wonderful, you know. But people have different areas maybe that you're struggling with, or maybe it's every area. Maybe you're struggling with relationship. Your finances are going to pot. You lost your job. You can't seem to find one. You know, and sometimes the flesh is tempted to say, why, God? Because we want to blame somebody. But the Bible says God is good. He didn't cause it. He didn't make your uncle or your aunt get cancer. He didn't put sickness or disease upon you. Our God is good. Say, well, why do these things happen then, Brother Doug? Well, there's about three reasons, pretty much. Pretty much three reasons. One reason, okay, we have an enemy. His name's the devil. Could be an attack of the devil. He comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. He knows nothing else, can do nothing else. We have all authority over him. We know that we have the victory. We know that we will win. Second thing is that we live in a fallen world. Genesis chapter 3, they fell from God. God said, Adam, you know, the ground's now cursed. We're in a world that's full of sin and corruption. And until that changes, some things just happen. Every accident is not the devil. Every sickness not the devil. We live in a fallen world of sin and corruption. Ultimately, he's to blame. You know, he brought the, you know, helped bring the sin through Adam. But everything is not just the devil. Some things happen because of sin and because this world is groaning for redemption. It's groaning. It's not going to be here forever. The Bible says at the end, what? It's going to be burned with the heat. There's going to be the new heaven, the new earth. Yeah, we're going to go to heaven, but we're not going to stay there very long. Hallelujah. We're going to stay in heaven forever. It'll be heaven on earth. Glory to God. The Bible says the earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof, and they that dwell therein. Glory to God forever. Hallelujah. Good news. This place isn't going to be the same. Hallelujah. And the third reason is choices. Choices that we make in life. You know, maybe I chose to do something. Maybe I shouldn't have done it. Maybe even my conscience told me not to, but I overrode it. And now I'm paying the price. My choice. Well, you mean, I know the problem is, brother, I just chose the wrong woman or the wrong man. No, you didn't choose the wrong woman or wrong man to marry. If you're married, that's the right person. You chose the right person, and if it wasn't, God made it right. That's who you're with now, and God can change it. Hallelujah. No person is our problem, right? Anybody hear Pastor Dave ever say that? Hallelujah. Let's see. I was going to say a few things that Pastor Dave has said in the past. And just to kind of remind us tonight, I was praying and I kept thinking in my mind, and the enemy's telling me, just call Tim and tell him you're not going to preach tonight. You just don't have anything. You know that. You don't know what to say. You're just, and I said, you're a dumb liar, devil. I'm going to say the right thing and God's going to get his glory. Hallelujah. It's not about me. I just want to be a good donkey. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm not any different than any other person. Anybody in here could stand up and minister tonight. The presence of God has come. We've been ushered in. We welcomed him. And the Holy Spirit has come. And he is good. God is a good God. He's a faithful God. And He loves you immensely. He can't help Himself. It's just His weakness if He had one. He just loves us. If I weep a little tonight, I don't apologize. It's just God. Okay? Hallelujah. Sometimes we're in different places in our walk with God, and He's so good to me, but yet I know I'm changing. Amen? Hallelujah. Don't you see that? I fast in the fasted life. Praise the Lord. I declare that's my confession, and I'm sticking with it, and I'm telling you that's what I do. Hallelujah. I eat my juices, eat a little bit here and there when I'm not fasting. Rest of the time I'm with Him. Amen. Me and Him are learning. He's teaching me and training me. Glory to God. So, well, why are you so fat, Brother Doug? Well, because that choice wasn't made soon enough. That's why. I chose it a couple of times, but I didn't keep it. But this time I'm making it public so you can all keep me accountable. Hallelujah. So watch me disappear. John said, I must decrease that He may increase. He's not talking about just the flesh, but, you know, all the flesh. Not just our physical body. What else is part of the flesh? Our emotions, what we think about. You know, the enemy brings those thoughts. And what does he do? He can't do anything to you. He says, well, I'll kill you. Well, how come he hasn't done it yet? Because he can't. But what does he do? He stirs up people's emotions, doesn't he? He stirs their emotions and it gets them thinking. And they get on the wrong thing. And sometimes he can either talk them into committing suicide, can he? Or maybe he talks them into drinking too much or taking drugs until they finally expire in the flesh. But we got a Father that loves us. And when we spend time with Him in fellowship with the Father, hallelujah, things are going to change in our life for the better. And we can bring permanent change. Or see, the enemy, he comes and he messes with people's mind, and the world puts them on drugs or sets them in a mental institution if it's really, really bad. I mean, there's a lot of people that aren't there now that maybe should be, or at least in our opinion, you know. But I think it's good. It's good for us that we can see some of these things. Our world, in America, we hide a lot of things. We don't see much death, you know. They die, they take the body away and keep it in the funeral home, and we got a place for it. But when we spend time with Him, see, Satan's nervous. He is in fear to see this many people, this is something Pastor Dave said, going into God at the same time. Satan is trying his best to stop us from seeking God. Why? Because the devil knows God is good. But do we know God is good? Do we believe God is good? See, when it becomes a revelation to us, then the things outside us don't matter anymore. God is good. Yeah, Lord, maybe you missed it 20 times. The last 20 times I missed it, Lord. But I'm going to get it. Hallelujah. I believe. I hear the voice of my Father. And I follow Him. That's the problem. All these choices I made, and now I feel condemned. And the enemy wants to condemn you. See, in my life, when I was born again, I got filled with the Holy Ghost, and there was condemnation within me pretty bad. But I didn't recognize it right away. I wasn't recognizing it as condemnation, believe it or not. And I would set my alarm, and I thought, well, I'll get up early to pray. And my wife can attest to this. We just got married. Oh, I slept through my alarm. Oh, my day is ruined. It would just be like, the whole day is ruined. That's my thought. You know, I thought, what? You know, because I didn't get up to pray with my Father who is good and loves me and is faithful even when we are unfaithful. He remaineth faithful still. See, when we see who He is, our faith begins to rise and we can receive of Him, for He is good. His mercy endureth forever. That's a long time. Just when you think you wore it out, Lord, I feel like I just failed again. I think I've worn you out, Lord. You know how many times I've come? And He says, I don't remember. I already forgot it because I love you. Come on, son. Let's walk together today. Maybe you didn't choose to pray, but you're going to now. Today, I'm choosing again. The Father says, I love you. Come on. Come on. Let's go. Excuse me. Tempted to go home, you know, and you start thinking about it. Because He is good. I'm telling you, His presence. Preaching's a wonderful thing, but being with God, there's nothing like it. Hallelujah. He'll go to work with you. Praise God. When He's there all day long. I'm just talking to the brother over here. And he says, well, you know, I got to do this 8 hours a day, you know, and sometimes our, you know, it's emotionally, you know, our emotions rise up and, oh, I don't feel like being here today, maybe, or I got all these people and I'm serving all these people all day. And they said, well, what about if my presence is with you? Why don't you just see it when you're serving my presence? You're here. You're serving my presence right now. So every corner, right now, we can reach everybody that has a job or that has somewhere they go. That presence can be there all the time. Sometimes it takes an attitude adjustment. Because if you can't change your circumstances, you better change your attitude. And sometimes I need an attitude adjustment. I remember one time I was praying and I thought, God, it just seems like something. Man, it just don't seem right, Lord. What's the problem? You need an attitude adjustment. I said, oh. You know, it don't have to take very long. It'll take very long if you just realize it. You know, your mother will tell you just your attitude or your father. Hey, get that attitude adjusted right now. Oh, yeah, straighten up, you know. I used to sit in church, and so, you know, sit next to my brother, you know, of course, if I sit there, you know, put me on the other side, put him on that side, I better straighten up, or he's going to adjust it for me. Hallelujah, amen. Hey, good dad. Amen. Hallelujah. But anyway, Satan's nervous. He is in fear to see this many people. How many people is that? This many people and those that hear and are operating in the message of prayer and fellowship. Going into God at the same time. Satan is trying his best to stop us from seeking God. How many people think he's trying his best? Hallelujah. How many people are experiencing some new emotions or some old ones that you thought were gone, you know? They start rising their ugly head again. Ha ha. Ha ha. Hallelujah. Baha. Kishka. Kishka marakingo. Plelo basto lambarkingreatombai. For if you'll worship me and praise me and think in my goodness, many of these things and thoughts shall disappear, says the Spirit of grace. For I come and inhabit my praises. Semanaya koi kiata voshe. Frakushibrikum bakungigale. Bangengum masere ahabula. For I've said unto you, I would never leave you nor forsake you. So why would you think I would leave you like an orphan in the storm? I love to come and fellowship with you, says the Lord. So simply invite me. and watch and see. My goodness shall follow you all the days of your life as you seek me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, glory. I guess we're talking about the goodness of the Lord tonight. Amen. Which is what I kind of had on my note here. But I just had a few things I wanted to share, though, that says spend that time with him. It is the fastest way into all God has for you. Spend that time. What time? Time in prayer, praying in tongues, praying your, making confession before the Lord, presenting your request, primarily praying long hours in tongues. The longer you pray, the quieter we become on the inside, right? Remember Dave saying that? 9, 10, 12 hours if you can. I said, what? How long? How long? Brother Doug, did you say? Just a minute. I didn't hear that, right? Did I? I hear somebody. You didn't hear that. Yes, you heard that right. Long hours praying in tongues can bring a quietness from your spirit and even affect your soul. You said, well, it doesn't affect your soul that much because it's for my spirit, but my spirit is so built up. My soul begins to become more at rest, see? He talks about, remember one day he talked about the guy, he's got all these bills. Didn't know what to do. The collectors are coming. They may put him in jail. He didn't know what's going to happen. But he'd been praying and so edified. He's at peace with God. Regardless of what the circumstance looked like. Regardless. See, there's joy and peace in what? Believing. Romans 15. No, yeah, 15. I'm not sure exactly which verse, sorry. I think it's 13, 14, 15, somewhere in there. Hallelujah. Praise God. But there's joy and peace in believing. And when we believe, God is good. There's a rest that comes to our soul. Thank you, Father. You're so good. Hallelujah. The circumstance really doesn't matter so much, does it? He said it's all temporary and it is subject to change. Well, I sure wish you'd change today. You know, well, that's where we need to realize, God, you're good. You may not change tomorrow. Maybe it was a choice that you made. Maybe it was a choice and, you know, maybe it was a choice to where a child was born. It's not ever going to change. It's not ever going to disappear. But God's grace and his goodness is there to bring a peace that passes all understanding. He said it'll mount guard in our heart and in our mind. God is a good God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. I'd said, you know, I was going to thought about calling Pastor Tim, you know, and every time I thought that, then down if I really, and you know, you get quiet and your spirit, you just see yourself. I saw myself just kind of walking back and forth and just sharing from the heart of God, just from what God has been placing in me. I've been meditating these very scriptures right here for a little while. That the Lord's good to all. You know, the Lord is gracious, full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all. All means all, I found out. Does it mean he's good to some and not others? He's good to all. He's good to your cussing neighbor, one that hates you so much. But he didn't have enough hate in him to bother you. Because the love of God is so strong. When he confronts you, God is there. His goodness begins to overtake. And change can take place. Well, it certainly didn't sound like it. The first change is in you. There was a change. but it's on the inside of you. Now, whatever he does doesn't bother you. He keeps driving over that part of my lawn, and I just hate it. I wish he would stop doing that. I know it's just 4 feet, but I mean, I just wish he'd stop doing that. It bothers me. Why does it bother you so bad? That's the question we need to ask. Why? Because no person is your problem. That person and what they're doing is not your problem. It's not what happens to us in life. It's our reaction to what happens in life that makes the difference. I didn't want to share that. I just had a thought, and I guess I'll share that, Lord. I remember, this was a long time ago, but my wife and I were newly married, and we decided to get a car. So this guy was going to help us get a new car. Of course, we didn't qualify. We don't have any credit. We're nothing, you know. We didn't have much money. But he got the car, and somehow, magically, the numbers worked. Oh, you got the car at a nice 15% interest, which wasn't so bad. But that wasn't it. We got a warranty, you know. The car's under warranty, bumper to bumper, right? Well, something happened to one of the tires, and we go back to the store, and all my great godly goodness, I went in, and we had one of our tires go out, and I know the car, you know, it's covered bumper to bumper. That's what they told me. You know, we'd like to get a new tire. Well, sir, I'm sorry, we can't give you a new tire. Well, why can't you give me a new tire, sir? Well, you did not buy the tire warranty. I didn't buy the tire warranty. I didn't think I needed to buy the tire warranty, sir. I thought it was covered bumper to bumper. I want you to replace that tire. And I mean now. And I'm not kidding. Somebody asked me Sunday. They're not here right now. They asked me, says, do you ever get angry? I said, yes. Oh, you mean you're normal? I said, yes. I'm very normal. No, I don't do that. That was a long time ago. And I have improved greatly. I rarely, you know, it's not, you know, it was just sometimes things that you've seen or other people, you know, do, or for whatever reason you think that's going to get your problem answered. See, I'll tell him a thing or two. Well, he didn't put no tire on there, that's for sure, especially not after that. I found out that goodness and peace brings much more favor. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes, hey, I had a warranty, but see, after you learn of him, Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden. I'm heavy laden with what? Well, I'm not sure what that is. I don't know if it's just the anger. To me, it was just, you know, something. Things could make me angry at that time in my life. And I look back, and it's almost like looking at a different person. And I praise God for that. But that's attributed to what we're talking about here. Spend that time with him. It's the fastest way into all God has for you. Well, it didn't look like the fastest way. Sometimes it doesn't look like the fastest way. But as we pray and we practice the presence of God, and we realize, okay, I need to change some things. I am love. Well, where'd you get that from? I got it out of Galatians chapter 5. Amen. The fruit of the Spirit is who I am. I am love. I am joy. Oh, I'm peace. I'm goodness. Oh, that's right. I'm faithfulness. I'm gentleness. That's what I am. I'm gentleness. I remember the day Gary got up here one time. He says, oh, I don't know a gentler man. You know, I think that afternoon me and my dad really got into it. I said, oh, Lord, I wish he wouldn't have said that. Not that I'm not. I am, because that's who I am. That's our spirit. That's our flesh. See, the enemy comes and he stirs your flesh. Part of your flesh is your emotions. Certain emotions in you. And so, God wants you to experience good emotions. So why do we let the bad ones hang around? You mean I have a choice? Yes, you do. You can choose not to let them hang around. I said, well, what do you mean I can choose that? You know what? I bet I can make you happy right now, really good, happy, really happy. Well, I'm depressed. Well, I can make you happy. I really can. Here's $20,000. Woo! Problem solved. My bills are paid for the next 3 years. Hallelujah, or whatever it is. You know, your car is paid off. All of a sudden, you got excited. But see, that was an external happiness. But the eternal peace wouldn't care. Oh, $20,000, thank you. Lord, what do you want me to do with it? This is extra, Lord. You know, you want me to give it to Dave, Gary? What do you want to do, Lord? Oh, no, I want you to give it to Brother Doug. No, I'm just kidding. I'm teasing. Because he loves me. I know he loves me. And he's not withholding. God said, no, what good thing will I withhold from those that walk uprightly? No good thing. He's a good God. Hallelujah. Isn't he a good father? He's a good God. And I had 3 points, and I don't think we're going to get past even one. Hallelujah. As we press into God, he will come. He'll come. Shortly and quickly. So when did he say that? A long time ago. I'm just telling some things that helped me. Because sometimes you face circumstance and, you know, sometimes we make choices and then you made the wrong choice again. But see, when we pray in the Holy Ghost, he can change what caused you to make that wrong choice. Amen? Changes you. So you're not bound to have to do that. You can now believe him and say, oh, yeah, Lord, I should have asked you first, huh? Yeah, that would have helped a lot in that choice. Yeah, sorry about that. Anybody ever forget to pray? You know, you just did something, you know. Oh, you didn't have to raise your hand. No, I'm telling my messes. So. Hallelujah. That's what Gary said. We get up and tell our stuff. I wasn't going to tell that story. I had forgotten about that. Oh, Lord, I can't believe I did that. But me and the guy with the tire, that's where we were. So I got very upset and let him have a piece of my mind. My wife's trying to calm me down, you know. Calm down, calm down. Just relax, relax. Well, that ain't right. Ah, they shouldn't be doing that to me. They shouldn't be doing that. That's not right. They said send a warranty, then let's order it. You know, and some people say, I'm going to sue them. You know, threaten them, you know. That'll get it. Threaten them. Most people, when they're threatened, don't like it. You know, do you like it? When people threaten you? I don't like to be threatened. I'm going to sue you. Why? You know, like, go ahead, you know. You know. Well, I don't like you. I don't like what you did to me. That wasn't right. Well, sir, I'm sorry, it's not in the contract. Not really. You didn't do that. Oh, well. However, what if I had approached it differently? It's just right. I think this is still under warranty, isn't it? Wouldn't the tires be considered under warranty? You know, Lord, would you give me favor? Give me favor, God, you know. In the presence of God, well, we don't usually do that, but we'll give you a tire. You know, what's 40, 50, 60 bucks to them? You know, 100 bucks? Yeah, we'll give you a tire. See? I've seen even preachers, you know, they'll get in the airport. I got to get there. You don't understand. Get me a ticket. Get me on the plane. Whereas if you'd said, man, I'm so amazed at how you're handling this situation with so many people. But if it were possible, think you could get me a seat. I really need to get there. Oh, sir, we got a seat right for you, right here in first class. Well, how'd he get that seat? I didn't get it. Well, maybe it was the attitude that he took. And maybe it was the confidence, because he knew God was good and he wasn't concerned that he had to preach. You know? Well, you don't understand. I'm a preacher. Well, what does that make you? Somebody special? I mean, seriously, think about it. What would you say? You know, I hate it. I don't like it. Well, can you give me a discount? I'm a preacher. Well, why should they give you a discount? Why don't you give them a little extra? Since you know God's so good. And you know He's good. And you know the extra would bless them. Well, it's expensive to God. Is it expensive to God? What's their soul worth? I'm ashamed of yelling at that man. You think I'd ever be able to tell him about Jesus? Do you think he'd ever listen to me today? I couldn't go back there and ever tell him about Jesus. It'd have to be somebody else. I missed my opportunity. God can't use this donkey and that one. He kicked him. You know? He brayed, bit at him. He wasn't a good donkey that day. It wasn't a good donkey. But praise the Lord. There's still hope. God's good. And His presence comes. And fellowship with the Father is the fastest way. Hallelujah. To all God has for you. Whew. My Lord. I know we're going slow, but praise the Lord, He's good. I'm telling you. Woo! His goodness. And when we get that as part of our life, when it's a revelation on the inside and nobody can beat it out of you. Hallelujah. And you're under persecution and they, what? I'm telling you, sir, God's good. He loves you. What? What? He's good. Jesus wants you, sir. I don't understand it. The more I beat him, the more they tell me he loves me. I can't take it anymore. Tell me about this Jesus. That's what happened to Paul. And Silas, they were in the prison. They beat him. Just think, they got the wrong attitude. My Lord, we wouldn't have, they certainly wouldn't be in there today. They wouldn't be in this book. It'd be somebody else wrote it. I guess. I mean. But they took the right attitude. Amen. They let their mind think on the goodness of the Father. God's not doing this to me. God's not the one beating me. The devil's trying to stop me. I see it. These men don't mean to do it. They're full of the devil. They don't know any better. They don't know God. John said it, didn't he? First John, he said, they can't know you. They can't, they don't know me. The world, you know, they hate you. They don't understand. They don't know me. That's why. They don't understand you because they don't know me. If they knew him, only just between you and them, you know God. And you can introduce him. Oh, my Lord. Woo! What's he interested in? It's been said quite a few times here lately, you know, is he interested in our happiness? And what are we interested in? Are we really interested in what God's interested in? Are we interested in our own happiness? God will bless you. God will help you. He'll do so many good things with you and for you. But are you interested in your comfort and happiness? Or are we interested in those that don't know Jesus? Are we really, I mean really, when we look deep down, are we really interested? Do we really care about the man that's insane? He's out of his mind. Do we really care? You know, I know a man like that. Excuse me. His family was burned in a fire. I don't know if he saw it or what. But imprisoned in a body. Can't get his mind right. Can't get his mind right. Stuck in that place. But hallelujah. Spend that time with him. It's the fastest way into all God has for you. He's counting on us, folks. Do we really believe he's good? As we press in to seek him, he will come. Hallelujah, he's going to come. Shortly, quickly. Well, it doesn't look very quick to me. We came pretty quick tonight. We begin to worship him. Said, Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Come on in. Fill the atmosphere. Not just us, Lord, but all around us. Fill it up, Lord. He came. Came. See, I could stand and say a lot of things, but when he comes, he does what he does. Sets people free. Somebody may got a word tonight already, heard him. Amen. He's good. Maybe that was your word tonight. He's good. You're not going to give up. He's good. Not going to worry about the circumstance. He's good. Something else Pastor Dave said a while back, 2 years ago, maybe. For all of you have been called to take your place as an able minister. Take what you have to do what you can by faith and yield yourself to me. I mean, he said it by the Spirit of God. I mean, God's saying this. Take this next step. Many have gotten weary. Some have never fellowship with me. Therefore, repent and spend time with me. Enter into this next phase with me. Well, maybe you spent a little time with him, or maybe somebody's listening tonight and you think you just quit. Well, that praying tongues business just ain't for me. I prayed in tongues for three whole weeks and nothing happened. Well, faithful little you. Praise the Lord. We love you. And God is happy with your 3 weeks. He really is. He's ecstatic. He loves your fellowship. But he wants you to continue. He's hungry for you. He's more interested in your success than you are. Why do you think he gave us the Holy Spirit to help us? Because he knew we would need it. He knew we were going to need the help. So he gave you a nature, didn't he? A new nature. The nature empowered with the Holy Ghost. Can you imagine that? That's just unbelievable, unfathomable. I mean, it's a thought nobody could come up with but God. Amen. It was a God idea. So amazing. So amazing. To send a language that you could pray in anytime you want to, as much as you want to, as long as you want to, knowing that you're praying the very perfect mind of the Father out over your life. Hallelujah. And even for the lives of, that will affect, things that will affect other people. That will bring eternal and permanent change on the inside of you. Because you'll die to the things of those flesh. It will bring you up so strong in your spirit that you'll want to get rid of those things. You'll see it. You begin to hate it like God hates it. And you say, get out of my life. And the Word of God will begin to come to you like never before. Oh, I see it, Lord. I've got to start speaking to that. I am gentleness. You are. Do you understand me? You're gentleness. And I keep praying the Holy. You are gentleness. Do you understand me? You don't act that way. That's not you. You don't yield to those things. Hallelujah. When the devil tempts you to complain, God, you are good. Thank you, Father. You're so good. See, complaining is our way of just kind of blaming God, isn't it? See, he must have had some kind of hand in this misery I'm in. The Bible says God's good. He didn't have anything to do with your sickness. He didn't have anything to do with your poverty. He didn't have anything to do with your bad relationship. He's a good God. Don't blame him. He's not the problem. If you are going to blame somebody, blame the devil, but it's not all him either. It's us yielding to the Father, knowing him, spending the fellowship with him to where the goodness of God is so alive in us, it doesn't matter what it looks like about us, because our Father's so good. Hallelujah. Well, glory. So, we said, for the Lord said, for all of you have been called to take your place as an able minister. Take what you have to do what you can by faith and yield yourself to me. Well, what does that mean? Pray in tongues. You said, well, how do you know that's true? Because I sat back right there by this wall back here in this petition. Up against, my back was up against that wall over there. Chairs were all the way up against it. Decided I was coming to a Saturday prayer one time. And I didn't know. I didn't know what was going on. I was so excited. It was supposed to start at 6 a.m., but I didn't know it started the night before. You know, I come in and there's people laying around and some are kind of half sleeping and some are praying. I didn't know what was going on. I thought, well, I guess they'll start in a little while. I'll just lay back here and pray. Been to pray in tongues and just laid on that those seats back there. Wasn't too long, and I was all excited about putting my time in with God. You know, we want to put our time in, don't we? Well, why do you want to put your time in? Well, so I can go do what I want. You know? I mean, basically, you know. And it's not that God is interested in your time, but what he said to me, he said, son, I'm not interested in your time. And I'm thinking, what do you mean, God? I mean, I'm just laying there minding my own business. I hadn't prayed 30 minutes. They never did start, so I just kept praying. You know, I've been praying maybe 30, 45 minutes. God says, I'm not interested in your time. I said, so I'm kind of getting nervous. You know, you're not interested in my time. What do you mean? You know, I thought, he said, I'm interested in your life. In other words, all of you. Not just the time you're praying, but the time you're not praying. And the time that you're at home, and the time that you're at work, and the time that you're driving the car, and the time you're talking to your neighbor. Amen. And the time you're talking to your children and disciplining them, and time you're supposed to be loving your wife. I want your life. And then he said this to me. This is how I know. When you're praying in tongues, you're giving your life to me. I thought, oh, wow. Isn't that awesome? That was a long time ago now. I thought, wow, I can on purpose give my life to God. I can yield myself to him. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory! You know, and you get all excited, you know, and start praying. Oh, yeah. You're faithful and you just start really praying, you know. And then all of a sudden something goes wrong inside. What's happening to me? I don't know anything. I don't know anything. Oh, God, help me. I really don't. Oh, God. How long you been praying? Oh, maybe 3 or 4 months. You know, well, how much you praying? Oh, I don't really. A couple hours a day, maybe three. Two, three. You know, a couple hours probably. You know, you really can't pray a couple hours a day and then not, you know, not wake up your conscience. It'll wake up. See, it'll start talking to you. Your spirit will start talking to you. Don't do that. Okay. Whoa, what was that? So it'll wake up. Because see what happens sometimes is people sear their conscience because they let it go so long. They just keep doing the same things over and over again until it finally doesn't bother them anymore. They let it go away. But if you keep praying, see, you can't keep doing those things because your conscience gets woken up. And the part that was seared gets healed. And, you know, when you sear something, what happens? You don't have no feeling there, do you? If I take a hot iron and you sear something, that means it gets burned. You burn your skin, and then on the outside, you don't feel anything right there, you know. No hair grows there, and, you know. Or if you have a surgery sometimes, you know, you get a little spot there. You don't feel anything, maybe. You know, well, I don't feel anything there. Isn't that something? All around it, but not right there. That's where they cut me open. I got seared. Seared back together. So, that's a good thing. Conscience begins to get woke up, you know. And so, those changes can begin to take place so that you can see what needs to change. In my life, there's a lot of things, but the main root that I was talking about that really caused some of those things was a fear. I had so much fear, and I didn't even recognize it. I didn't know I was walking in fear. If you'd asked me, I'm not afraid of anything, and I really didn't think I was, you know. But I was blinded. And that was a very, very wonderful day. I fought that fear for 2 years. It's a wonderful day when I walked out of that. I felt like a new man. I thought I got saved again. It was like getting saved all over again. I was like, wow. Man, I didn't realize it was that bad, you know. You know, it's like I'd been praying in the Spirit and speaking the Word of God and listening about fear and doing afraid and trying to overcome this fear. And kept getting jobs with people in my life, certain kind of people that would torment me. You know, I didn't like any of them, but they kept me in the same kind of people. And I said, I think God's up to something. You know. And he would teach me. I remember one guy, he was very demanding. Not so much demanding, but very unappreciative of my hard labor, put it that way. Not so much demanding, but unappreciative. He didn't realize, you know, I would work hard, and I knew I worked hard. But I was trying to get my boss's approval. I was trying to get him to say, I guess I was trying to get him to say, you did a good job. You know, I had that fear of that person in authority. Maybe he'd tell you to do something, you know, and then later on, did you get that done? Maybe you hadn't got it done yet, but you'll go, you know, I might tell you, yeah, I got that done. I'll go do it real quick. So why'd you do that? I started thinking that too. Why'd I do that? Fear. Fear of punishment from the person in authority. I don't mean to just be speaking to this side. I'll get over on this side. Sorry about that. You're here too. But fear. Fear had been tormenting my life and dictating my life. I kept praying the Holy Ghost. Praying in other tongues. The mind of the Father began to rise up. Son, you don't have to be afraid of me. You mean you're afraid of God? Probably. Apparently. Because I woke up, and I mean, it ruined my whole day. Oh, man, I didn't do that, God. Oh, no, this day's ruined. Oh, jeez. You know, I mean, I was ruining it with my own words on top of that. Didn't know it. I thought, Lord, have mercy. You know, go about your day, try to get over it. And I mean, it might take me the whole day to get over that. The whole day for something to happen in the morning. I mean, that's bad. That's pretty bad. I think it bad now because I'm thinking now, I thought, gee, I can confess it and move on no matter how I feel. Praise God. Glory to God. Beat that condemnation. Beat those things out of your life. But as I kept praying, that fear would just, you know, come up. I didn't realize it until the Holy Spirit, of course, began to reveal that. So now I'm trying to deal with it, you know. Stop lying to your boss now, you know. Get one boss, get another, you know. Same way. But this one particular fellow was much like some things in my life. See, I worked with my father, kind of like Gary did with his dad. We had a landscaping company, and I got fired a few times. You know, I get fired and get fired, go to work the same day, you know. Maybe twice, you know. You're fired. Okay, get out there and get that truck now. You know, I was like, oh, Lord, I can't believe it, you know. But my dad's a good man. He really is. But I worked with this man, and he was much like that. I remember the Lord began to show me one day, we were working on this tractor, and he'd get all upset, you know. And the Lord said, just do whatever he tells you. Yeah, he's putting those blades on backwards, you know, on that mower. And I knew it, but I didn't say a word. Whatever he says, hand me this wrench. Okay, hand me that. I'll do that. Why don't you ask me if he wants to take a break now? It's almost break time. Hey, it's almost break time. You take a break? Yeah, let's take a break. Keep you from blowing up, you know. Point was, is the fear. So it's fear of the authority. I wanted the approval of man. The Bible says the fear of man's a snare. Can't have the fear of man. We fear God. And when we fear God, and I realized I'm never going to get his approval. I don't have to worry about it. I got my Father's approval. He's good. And he loves me. I know I'm doing a good job. My Father knows I'm doing a good job. And that's all that really matters. See, I'm more concerned about what heaven thinks about me than what man thinks about me. Or any person thinks about me. More than my wife thinks about me. More than my husband thinks about me. More than what my earthly mother or father think about me. I'm more concerned with what heaven thinks about me. Amen. And that's my point there, that God is good tonight. He's gracious, he's full of compassion, slow to anger and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all. His tender mercies are over all his works. All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you're good. We thank you, Father, that your goodness is something that can cause us to be stable in life. Lord, that we know that you have our best interest at heart. That you are good, Father. You are faithful, Father. You love us. You will not change. When all the things in this world are changing, Father, you don't change. It doesn't matter what's happening in the political realm, Father. It doesn't matter what's happening in the financial realm, Lord. It doesn't matter what's happening all around us, Father, on our job or anywhere else, Father. You are good. And you have our best interest at heart. And Father, you said when we come to you, you will in no wise cast us out. And Father, if there's anybody listening tonight, maybe they don't know God. They don't know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. Or maybe you're just not sure. I don't know if I've received Jesus or not. You never had a no-so experience with God and you need Jesus tonight. You can invite him into your heart. You can call upon his name. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He's so good. He wants you. He desires to be your friend. He desires to be your father and to walk through those problems with you. He'll fill you with the Holy Spirit, give you a language that you can use to get to know your Father. If you're not saved or you're not born again tonight and you'd like to be born again, you want to be a part of that family where there's a father that's good. Maybe your father wasn't good. I'm sure he wasn't perfect. But maybe he wasn't good. Maybe you want to know a good God. Maybe you served a bad God. Maybe you bowed to an idol. I don't know. Maybe something else was so important, but you've never known God. You can come to God tonight. He said, I will not cast you out. Whosoever will, let him come. The Bible says simply, if we believe in our heart that Jesus Christ died on the cross in payment for your sin, if we would confess that with our mouth, we would be saved. We would be born again from above. We would receive a Father that can know us, that we can know. So if you'd like to do that tonight, you're listening tonight, if you're here, please lift your hand and make your way down. We'd love to pray with you. If you're listening by audio, just pray a simple prayer to God. Say, Lord Jesus, I need you. I need that Savior. I believe you died on the cross for me. I believe that you were buried and that you were raised from the dead 3 days later. I say, be Lord of my life. Come on in, Jesus. Come on in, Jesus. Be my Savior. I receive you. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me live for you. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. You prayed that prayer tonight, tell somebody. Find a church. Find a pastor. Write to the ministry. Whatever it is. Wherever you are, let us know about it. We want to know that you gave your heart to Jesus. Hallelujah. If you've been listening tonight and you said, I don't understand that tongues business. What is that? How do I pray in tongues? It's very simple. One of the most simplest things you've ever done. Because he comes. He said, if you'll ask me, I'll give it to you. It's simply asking him to fill you with the Holy Spirit. He says they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And they began to speak in other tongues as the Holy Spirit gave them the utterance. Or we would say the words to say. Supernatural words that didn't come from your mind, but they came right up out of your heart. And you talked directly to God. Maybe that's not my gift. Well, it might not be as far as the gifts of the Spirit go, but it's a gift that he has given to all men. And you said, well, how do you know? Let's take a look. Acts chapter 2. I just want to read this real quick to make sure this is clear. Acts chapter 2, the same chapter where they spoke in tongues. Okay, Acts 2. You said, well, how do you know, brother? Are you sure? I'm absolutely positive. It's for all that want it. You don't have to do it, but you can. If you want it, you can do it. Acts chapter 2, verse 38 and 39. Now, this is right after they were over here in chapter 2 earlier, speaking in tongues, right? Well, let's start 37. Now, when they heard this, Peter got up and preached to them. They heard that. They pricked their heart and said unto Peter and unto the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise, what promise? Promise of the Holy Spirit, which is what he's talking about in this chapter. Okay. Well, the promise of Jesus and the Holy Spirit is unto you, to your children, and to all that are far off. As many as the Lord our God shall call. Whosoever will, let him come and drink. It's a guarantee. It's for you. It's for all. Those that were there and us who are far off from there. Amen. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Anyway, hallelujah. But he's talking about that in the same chapter. It's the same thing. He's talking about when the Holy Ghost came. And now that he's come, we can see other places in the book of Acts where they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Remember in Ephesus, they said, well, we hadn't heard there was a Holy Spirit. Oh, we didn't know about that. And they received the Holy Spirit. Okay? So it isn't for some and not, you know, not for others. That's not so. I used to believe that. That's why I try to help people, because I understand, you know, it can be confusing to some people. But we can clearly show you from the Bible. And if you're at home tonight and you're listening, or you're somewhere else, you can receive the Holy Spirit. Tongues is for you. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, glory. Anything else, Holy Spirit? Hallelujah. I didn't mean to get long-winded about it, but you know it's important. Truth is important. God wants one as well as any other. Amen. We receive first time, every time, all the time. We have people every service getting filled with the Holy Ghost, don't we? Isn't it amazing? Do you see it? They're just flooding. They're running. Before they even hit the altar, they're praying in tongues. You said, is it possible? I know it. When we were in Africa, every service, 50%, if we were in a church, I'd say at least 50%, they come down and receive the Holy Ghost. I say, no, this gift is for you. It comes up out of your heart. It's something you don't understand with your mind. You just begin to open your mouth and yield to the Holy Spirit and let Him speak those words out. And I'm telling you, we would get 100%. I mean, I didn't lay hands on anybody. They all begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. I said, well, is anybody having a hard time? Maybe one or two. And we go lay hand on them and they just start speaking just like that. The Holy Ghost wants to be given and wants to be received more than you know. He so wants you. He so desires to fellowship with you. Jesus said, it's expedient I go away that I can spend the Comforter, this Comforter, the Holy Spirit, who will abide with you forever. Hallelujah. To empower your new nature, that you may walk with me in greater authority, in greater understanding of who I am and my goodness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. It is for all. It's for you. Receive it tonight. Just open your mouth. Say, Lord, I receive the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for filling me. Begin to open your mouth, and any sounds and syllables that would come out, just begin to pray them up to God. Don't speak in your native language, whatever that may be, and just and let it flow. It may sound kind of like that. It may sound funny to your mind, but just let it flow and keep speaking in it until you get a good flow in you, and then start praying in it every day. Begin to use it and give glory to God. Amen? He wants you. He desires that for you. It's the next step. If you're born again, it's the next thing He desires for you. He really does. Say, well, I don't know. Well, He does. I watched it happen. I remember we were in one particular church, and they said, well, they got to get wisdom first before they get the Holy Spirit. I don't know what they meant for sure. I don't know if they meant they need to get older or they need to get wiser or what. So I didn't worry about what they said, but I didn't say anything, you know. But several pastors were there, and we didn't have a lot of people. About four people came down to get born again. I said, now just stay right here, because God's got another gift for you. Stay right here. You're born again. You receive Jesus. So these people received Jesus. And now we're getting ready to let you receive the Holy Spirit, okay? Oh, okay. Now there's some of you other out here that don't pray in tongues. Come on now, and you can receive along with these. And they all receive the Holy Spirit. You see, sometimes, if you can show them. And I said, now see, once you're born again, I can tell all the pastors they can get the Holy Spirit. It's easy. One of the easiest things you ever did. Maybe it was hard for you. I'm not saying, you know, some people do struggle. Maybe you're having a hard time yielding over to it. But continue to yield. Continue to worship God. Continue to thank Him. Oh, Father, I thank you that I speak in tongues. Hallelujah. Get that scripture out that Paul said. I speak in tongues more than you all. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I speak in tongues. I love speaking in tongues. I remember one time a guy asked me. I hadn't spoken tongues much. Just maybe a few syllables. And I would get in my, sometimes I would get in my prayer time or maybe in the shower or someplace like that. And I remember praying. I'd get these words to come up. Ooh, you, 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 yow. I'd stop. I wonder if that's those tongues they were talking about. I really wasn't sure. I'd get, you know, do it a little bit more once in a while. I wonder if that's those tongues. I really wasn't for positive, you know. So, This guy asked me one time, and I'm telling him myself again. He says, "Well, what do you think of those tongues?" And I don't know. I had an idea. He didn't think it was all that great. So I said, "Well," and in my spirit, I heard this. "It's great." And I didn't know why, but I said, "That's okay." I don't know why I did that, but well, it was that fear that was still working in me at that time. See, it wanted the approval of man. See, the approval of man is a snare. The enemy was trying to keep me from doing it, see. But I didn't forget that. Because I heard my spirit say it. It's great. I thought, why did I think that? Why did that come to me? Why didn't I say that? You know, I even thought that. I thought, well, I don't know. You know, at that time I didn't know, but now I realize I was looking for their approval, see. Because sometimes people don't think it's from God, but it is. It's a gift from God. It's for every man, for every woman, every boy, every girl that wants it. If you don't want it, he won't force it on you. You know, but we don't have to pray in tongues. We get to pray in tongues. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Anybody that came specifically for prayer, you want prayer tonight, you can come up and we'll pray and be dismissed here in a minute. Father, we just thank you for the goodness of God, for the Holy Spirit and the truth that he is to us. We thank you, Father, that you fill us to overflowing, Father. We thank you, Father, for continuing to work with us, Holy Spirit, as we go about our day, Lord, tomorrow and this week, that we'll continue to give ourselves over to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, if you want to leave, you may. If you came specifically for prayer, come on up.